As a web designer or developer who is running their own web business, do you find yourself struggling to find clients, undercharging for your services, confused over your process and more? Trust me, I've been there, and if you found yourself nodding along to any of these, then this is the podcast for you. If we haven't met before, welcome friend, my name is Ben Bellamy and I'm your new favorite website biz expert. I spend my days running my own successful international web design business, following my dreams and running the business that I love. If you are an ambitious web designer or developer running their own web biz, I'll be delving deep in my years of experience and teaching you all about how to get dream clients, streamline your process, and grow your revenue to 5K months and beyond. So grab that cup of tea and get comfy. It's time to listen to the Grow Your Web Biz podcast. Hello, everybody. Future Ben here after we have done the whole recording and the editing. My microphone on this podcast episode failed at the beginning. So as I've recorded almost over half of this episode, it was through my MacBook microphone and not my podcast microphone. So I apologize in advance for the quality of my audio for the first half of this episode. I promise it will pick up and you will have the amazing normal quality that you normally have. So on with today's episode.
Welcome back to the Grow Your Web Biz podcast, episode 10. I love hitting, it's a small milestone, let's be honest. 10 is not a very large number, but it still feels like a little bit of a milestone, especially when I look back at my analytics and the DMs that I get from you guys and the comments and telling me how much you're loving this, because I'm loving it too. It makes me so happy to be able to share my knowledge and experience with you guys and actually have you grow. Like, there are people that message me telling me, like, I've raised my prices and I've signed a new client. Like, that is just so amazing to me. I just love it. So I am so pleased that you're here. Thank you for sticking with me up until episode 10. We've got so many more episodes to come. There's so much that I want to talk about that I haven't done yet. So don't worry, I feel like we're going to be going for a while. On today's episode, I really want to talk about the client winning process that I have within my own business and how I onboard clients almost. The reason I want to talk about this is because this is something that I've refined over years, and there's no exact guideline on or handbook on how to do this. And so sometimes it's really important to have somebody be able to tell you this is how they do it, because I don't believe there is a guideline of, you know, X, Y, and Z. And obviously everything works for individuals in different ways, and so you might want to adapt this. This is what currently works for me in terms of my process. Now, there are some changes that I am planning to make to this. So when I say I'm planning to make to this is stuff like I'm thinking in the back of my head, which I'm like on the next evolution of my business at the moment. So when that does happen, I will be sure to update you guys and talk about it. But there's nothing wrong with this process. That made it sound like there's something wrong with this process. And it's like, why am I talking about it? There's nothing wrong with this process. This is the process that I've used successfully for many, many clients and does work for me. So let's get on with it, shall we? Because I could babble on about this forever. So the very first stage that happens for me is a discovery call. So this is normally 20 to 30 minutes, and I would really cap it at 30 minutes. In this call, we should be establishing the client's goals for their new site, how many pages are required, what kind of functions and features are necessary. And that is the kind of like the minimum we should be finding out. Now, it's really important to refine your process for this and even have I just have a simple Word document for this that we use to enter clients' details into when they answer these questions. And it just means that I have a guide in front of me, so I know when I'm on the call exactly what I need to be asking every single time. So it's really important to make sure you specifically ask how many pages are required and what the functionality is, because without that, you really can't go away and do an effective quote. There have been times before when I very first started where I didn't ask a client how many pages they needed. And then when it came down to the project, I would maybe be doing like 10 to 15 pages. And because I hadn't really capped it and I didn't really have the confidence back then, they would add more pages on and it would just be like a rolling thing of like, whoa, like this is way too much. So it's really important to establish how many pages they need, because even if your base price should be covering somewhere between 6 to 7 pages, possibly for a brochure site, if they've got 20 odd pages, then that's going to be considerably more cost. Now, this isn't like an episode about pricing, but in terms, you will have different ways in how you're going to price that. I know I have the way that I do it and the way that I've spoken to you guys before is that I have my base price and then I assess all the add-ons from that, whether it's a store, whether it's a membership, whether it's, you know, whatever it might be. But in terms of pages, I always look at it as how many pages are specifically templated. So I don't use a template to build my site so everything's custom, but obviously when I say templated, I will create a template that is custom for that site. And so if the pages are just duplicates of an existing template, but with different content, then that for me is really straightforward. I can really easily replicate templates like that and just change out the text. So I would maybe price that per page. And it really does depend on the client. There have been times when I know, like, okay, I've seen the content. This is going to be really easy. I'll do $50 a page, obviously on top of the base price. Or if it's something that's like way more complex, I might put extra money on top because I know that it's going to take me much more time than simply just like copy and pasting and replicating. So you really have to understand how many pages and also what functionality, because if they're going to say to you, like, I want a membership, I want an online store, I want a blog, I want to showcase my podcast, they give you all these things, then all of a sudden you're having to configure this enormous website that actually each of those things should be chargeable. So have as much of a full conversation as you have, and don't ever be afraid if you finish the conversation and you're like, actually, I don't feel like I got everything. Don't be afraid to follow up, because it's better to sort it out now and and be a good communicator than it is to misquote them and then have to go back to them and after they've already agreed the quote and be like, look, I'm really sorry, but this doesn't include it. It's better to get it out the way at the beginning. You also want to talk about their goals, because you want to show to the client that you're taking that into consideration, but you also want to know where they're going, where they're aiming towards. There's no point designing a site for them that maybe is going to work for them now. It needs to also work for them now, but work for their future goals or help them get to where their future goals are going to be. And I always cap this call at 30 minutes, because you could be you could be chatting forever and your time is valuable, especially if at this point you don't know whether you are going to sign this client or whether they're going to accept the quote or whether they're not the right client for you. So I'll tell you a very quick story. I once traveled to meet a client. I drove 30 minutes. We met in a coffee shop. We chatted for maybe 2 or 3 hours. And then I basically spilled my guts. I worked through everything and talked through everything. And then drove 30 minutes home, then spent maybe like 2 hours putting a quote together, and it didn't even go ahead. So what was that? 3, 4, 5, about 6, probably more like 6 to 8 hours I spent on this one client that did not go ahead, because she did accept the quote, but in the end, and in my own experience, where I didn't do enough of establishing, you know, who she was and what her goals were and her business. She was so back and forward. I was like, okay, I realized this is a nightmare client. And I actually ended up saying to her, look, I'm really sorry, but I think you need someone else who's going to fit your needs better. I'm actually going to end this, or however I worded it, before she even had like paid any kind of money to me. So the thing is, you could like go and meet somebody for a meeting, or you end up doing 2 hours on the phone. And if it doesn't go ahead, that is just such a waste of your own time, especially if you are one person. It's maybe a bit different if you're an agency, you've got multiple people in a team. Maybe you can afford that outlay. But even then, I don't think that you should. And I think in this day and age, especially with everything that's going on in the world as of the time of this recording, we've all come to adjust to more of an online life. And so I think doing a 30-minute phone call or a Zoom call, keep it short and sweet, it's just the best way. Subject to them going through the call, you're now at a point where you need to put together a proposal. So the proposal should include everything that the client has described on the discovery call and clearly outline everything you are going to do as part of the project and, of course, the price. So you have to showcase that you understand the project and that this is what they are getting for the price. And there should be no maneuverability in terms of like, oh, I can add on extra pages, I can do this, I can do that, I can do whatever. No, like this is what you're getting for the price. So we need to be super specific. And then it's also really good to highlight the benefits of going ahead. So for example, sometimes I do put into my proposals that the benefits of going ahead are maybe you'll look more professional, you will be look more like the expert in your industry that you are, bits like that. And then I will also put, but the negatives of not going ahead are, and then I'll highlight some potential negatives of if they don't go ahead. And so it gets them to kind of start to think like, okay, this really does highlight why I need this and what's going to happen if I don't take this out. So I always love to include that little bit because I just think it's like an extra bit of like a persuasive tool. Subject to them accepting the proposal, we need to get them to sign a contract. People, get a contract in place. We do not do any work if we do not have a contract. This is essential to ensure you and the client understand what their roles and responsibilities are. And this also gives you some protection if things go wrong. So every time I've not worked with a contract at the beginning, it always went wrong. There was always scope for error and it was just a mess. You need to have a clear and professional contract that both parties sign. That's really important. Even if you use, and I use HelloSign for all of my contracts, all my contracts are digital. I don't post anything off, I don't meet them to sign it. It's all digital. Get them to sign the contract. And within the contract, it needs to cover things like the dates that you're going to commence the work, the deadlines for when you need the content from them. It needs to include things like how they can end the contract. So do they need to give you notice? Are there extreme circumstances where either party can break the contract immediately, such as like illegal activity, or there are some other ones that I have within my contract, like the really extreme stuff. Even your details about paying, the payment structure, when you need to be paid, how much you need to be paid. If you don't have any of that, then you have no protection. So if a client didn't pay you, you have no contract, you have no way to take them to court or take legal action against them. And so you have to have a contract for that reason to protect yourself. You will also be taken more seriously. I found in the past, the clients that I didn't sign a contract with are the ones who would just either disappear or the ones who just were not fussed, not interested, just did it on their own time. Whereas when I sign a contract with a client now, this is a serious business exchange. There are consequences if either of us don't follow through with what we've agreed to do. And it makes them feel like they just can't disappear. They've signed a contract. This is a professional agreement. So if you don't have a contract, absolutely put something together. There are some good examples online for free. I say that actually. Some are okay, some are not. This is probably a good point to highlight that I am working on some digital products called the Web Designers Toolkit, which is basically a toolkit full of all kinds of like documentation and templates, such as a contract, a proposal template, a client discovery call script, all this kind of great stuff that I'm actually talking about. So it's not ready yet, but I just want you to know that that is something that's coming. And so if you feel like, I mean, this would have been a great opportunity if I had it ready to be like, yay, don't have any of this stuff, please come and buy my thing, but I don't have it ready yet. So definitely go and look and, you know, get this kind of stuff sorted, especially getting a contract. However, I do have something like this coming. So hopefully in the next month, that will be ready. And so if you don't have time to do it now and maybe want to come straight to me for all the goodness, I will have that available. It will be on all my social media announcing it when it happens. So you will not miss it if you follow me on social media. And I almost certainly will be talking about it on this podcast anyway. But that was just a little Just a little side note for something coming in the future.
Do you find yourself struggling to get clients for your web design business? Are you unsure where exactly to go and find them? This is why I created my free guide, 7 Easy Strategies to Get More Clients. In this guide are ways that I have generated clients for my own international web design business, and I've personally used each of these methods to grow my business into a success. This free guide includes 7 ways to get more clients, a clear action for you to take and a tip for each of the ways, and a checklist to help you work through each one. Head over to benbellamy.co.uk/moreclients to grab your free copy today. The link is also in the show notes. Now, back to today's episode.
Now, once they've signed the contract, they need to pay a deposit. We do not do any work until they've signed a contract and they've paid the deposit. Now, I recommend a 50% deposit amount of the total price before they start the work. The reason is anything less is almost not a big enough investment. And so the clients may not take it seriously. In the past, when I was charging like £500 for websites and I was taking like £100 deposit, people would just disappear and kind of would be working on their timescale. It wasn't a priority for them because I've only paid them £100. It doesn't matter. Whereas now, where I'm taking 50% deposits and it's like £1,700 payments and above, that's a serious commitment. So people are like ready to get going. They've paid a good amount of money. They want their website, quite rightly. And also both of those things, the contract and paying deposit, shows a commitment that they're ready to go. And also you need a good bit of money. Like, you want the biggest chunk at the start because you want paying your business. And sometimes when I've spoken to people before, people have said like, oh, I feel like 50% is too much. Well, I tell you, I've never had an issue with a 50% payment ever. I've never had a client quibble it. I've always taken 50% up front. Well, I didn't at the beginning, obviously, but when I made the change, and since I made the change, I've never had a problem. And now I'll take deposits of £1,700 above, which if I only wanted to maybe do one website client a month, that's like good money straight off the bat for a 50% deposit. Obviously, I work more than that anyway. So you need to take a deposit up front. And I would like to hope it's 50%.
Once the deposit has been paid, we need to then be having a strategy call with the client where we need to be going into detail about the design. So their brand colors, the fonts, have they had any inspiration from any other websites? And at this point also, we need to be reminding the client that their deadline for them to get you the content for the website, because this is now going to be the next biggest barrier, where if they don't get their content sorted, then how are you going to do the website? You can't, and that's going to hold you up. You then can't get paid. So it's really, really important to highlight that. I mean, you should have that highlighted really within your contract anyway. However, we need to definitely nail that down with the strategy call. We also want to be talking things through like the navigation of the menu and how that's going to look, and really make sure we have nailed down and talked through anything and everything we think is going to be relevant before we start doing the draft designs. The one thing that we don't want to be doing is not asking enough questions or the right questions and then doing the designs and then the client being like, oh, well, that's completely wrong, or that is just out, not anything of what I was looking for. And this is why we need to have that call and work that out at the beginning. So talking about the designs, I always love to do draft designs for my client before I actually build a website. So I use Adobe XD and I will put together 1 or 2 homepage designs for the client so they can see the styling and the colors, and that will then set the theme for the rest of the site. So this allows the client some choice. So they either can choose one of the designs, or they maybe might go, actually, I'd quite like to mix and match between the two designs. Now, some people do this slightly differently. Some people will say like, well, there should only be one design because you're designing to answer the client's problem. And I don't think there's a right or way or wrong way to do this. Either you can do one design or you can do two. I probably wouldn't recommend doing any more,
I personally like to do two because I never like to get stuck in the situation of the client going, I'm sorry, I really don't like that. What else have you got? Because oftentimes when a client describes something and they talk about something, when they actually physically see it on paper, it can then be a very different thing. So I always like to do two designs. And I use Adobe XD because it's just really easy to not throw it together, but it is so much easier rather than building an actual site. And also it helps me get a full picture of the design. Whereas before, when I used to physically like just actually build the site for the draft, I couldn't get like a full picture of the site, which you can get with Adobe XD. And so it just elevates your skill as a designer. Once the client has signed off on the draft designs, I will then go ahead and actually build a first draft of the website in a staging environment so they can actually go ahead and look at the site. So typically this is more, I will build out the front end. And if there's any kind of connectivity or anything in the back, I don't really do that at this point because I just really want to establish the front of the site. I will then send that to the client and I will include normally a walkthrough video where I record my screen and talk through everything and explain everything. And then I'll ask them for their feedback and I'll ask for page by page feedback with everything. At this point, I'm then asking the client for the next 25% payment of the total because I've delivered the first draft. And I will not do any more work until the invoice is paid because as far as I'm concerned, I've produce the first draft up to this point, and so I now need the further payment. I will then make rounds of revisions, making tweaks to the website from the client's feedback, and then I will present the full draft, final draft, back to the client. And I kind of know when we've reached the final draft because there should really be no more tweaks to be made or no more feedback. And I do make clear that this is the final draft. Once they have said that they're happy, I will ask them for a formal sign-off. So even if that is just in the form of an email, I personally just ask them to put it in writing in an email. Or you could even, I know some people do like get them to sign a contract, or not a contract, but sign to say that they've signed off the final draft and that any future changes are then chargeable from that point. Because again, I've been in a situation before at the start of my business where I'd be constantly doing changes and the client would change their mind or they'd change their style, they'd want something different. And so you're stuck doing all of this work. And actually at this point, you don't want that. You've done all the work, they've signed it off, it's done. Then we need to connect up the site. So I will always do any of like the backend connectivity. If the client asks me to install it on the hosting, I mean, it's very rare. 99% of my clients will take out a hosting package with me. So I'll connect the domain name up, install the SSL certificate, and then I do any like final backend checks, make sure any like forms are connected and everything's just tidied up. Then once we go live, I'll send the final invoice for the balance of the project. So I get the 25%. And then we're done. The client should be really happy and you should be really happy. I'll always then ask the client for a testimonial, whether that be on my Google My Business account or a text referral for my website or for Facebook. Or if you can get a video testimonial from them, that's even better. I always kind of like to do it at this stage because sometimes if you leave it too long, then they forget and you want to kind of capture them within that moment. I then also want to post about it on social media. So, and I'm personally not very good at this, but once the website is done, we want to shout about it. So we want to make a post for our social media accounts, write something nice about the client, tag them in it, and make sure to include a great image of the site. Now, I will say, if you are working on projects that maybe are not quite your dream client, you really only want to highlight your dream clients on your social media. So you'd have to think about necessarily which sites are going on there. But if you're happy to talk about all of your clients and you don't mind, then absolutely just go and shout about it. Because it's just a really easy piece of social media for you to do. And people see that and then they go, oh, I need an amazing website, just like this business. So it really works really well. Now, I hope this has helped in some degree, because I know what it's like I said at the beginning, it's really easy. Oh no, it's not easy. It's really hard when you don't know what process you should necessarily be taking. And you sometimes feel like there is no kind of guide or guidelines or manual on how to do it. And I'm not saying my process will work for you exactly. Maybe you need to tweak it. I'm not saying it works for everybody. But what I do know is that this has worked for me, and it will evolve over time. And even, like I said, there are some changes that I'm looking to make. And I think that I always like to, if I'm ever going to try and teach something or talk to you guys about something, I'm going to do it and then see what the results are before I tell you, yes, you should go and try this yourself, because there's no point in me telling you about it, or I've made all these changes to my process, and then actually they don't bring in the results, and then I've already told you to go and do it. Just doesn't make sense. So when I work and tweak on my process and I get some results, I will let you guys know. I hope you have a wonderful day and you enjoyed today's episode, and I will see you next time.
Phew, what an episode. But don't disappear just yet. If you loved today's episode as much as I did and want to tell the world about it, then I'm going to ask you to please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave me a 5-star review. Not only will I love you forever, but every time I get an amazing review from one of my listeners, I do a happy dance, and it absolutely makes my day. I'll drop a link where you can leave me a 5-star review in the show notes. Thank you in advance, and I'll see you next time.